This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
We got some early local sports Twitter action. First time in a while, Steve Cohen has tweeted. The last time he tweeted, he was thanking Luis Rojas for his service as manager all the way back on October 4th. So we have not heard from Steve Cohen on Twitter in a long time. He told Moose and Maggie that now that the GM search is over, that he is going to be more involved in Twitter. And look at this. He's more involved in Twitter. 11 minutes ago, Steve Cohen tweeted, "I'm not happy this morning. I've never seen such unprofessional behavior exhibited by a player's agent. I guess words and promises don't matter." Was he talking about Steven Matz?
Is he? I guess he is, right?
I guess I'm mad. Would assume so. That's the only guy that we knew the Mets were in on that signed elsewhere.
Or could it have been Noah Syndergaard's agent?
That would be a while. I mean, you know, that was a long time
ago.
Yeah,
I know it was a long time ago, but it was also a big story. But then again, they didn't have a GM yet.
I mean, how could you be mad about Steven Matz signing with the Cardinals? That mad?
Well, if you felt like you were sold a bill of goods by the agent, yeah, then you could be that mad for sure. But, you know, you and I both said to Steven Matz, don't come here.
Yeah, exactly. Don't come back here. You don't need this. We don't need you. You don't need this.
Go somewhere else and be the guy you want to be and go pitch where, you know, there's maybe, you know, it's not near the pressure. But, you know, and I think also for these guys coming home and playing, you know, it just creates even more agita and just distraction and all sorts of stress.
Now, who is Steven Matz's agent? Do we know? John, I'm going to want to go to John Heyman.
Rob Martin is his agent.
Rob Martin.
This is according to a John Heyman tweet, which you're going to.
Hey,
so we're all
man.
Assuming this is because of Steven Matz.
Yeah, so yes. Here we go. All right.
Okay.
Mets are upset about the Matz situation and his last-minute call to the Cardinals. They had the impression he was going to come back to them for a final chance. Sources say Mets would have gone to the level that the Cardinals did of 4 years, $44 million. Said Mets GM Billy Epler told Matz agent Rob Martin he was upset. Mets thought they'd have a final chance and didn't get it. Word from Matz camp is he had a late change of heart.
Okay. All right, well, it's his choice where to go and pitch and who to play for.
You know what I mean?
So, I mean, like, what are you going to do?
Exactly. Are you going to go tweet about it?
I mean, like, we would have never even known about it, I guess, if he hadn't tweeted about
exactly.
it. Or maybe we would have known about it. I don't know.
Who knows? I mean, maybe one of the insiders would have tweeted it out, but I mean, Steve Cohen, this doesn't help the Mets' case when Steve Cohen goes to Twitter when he doesn't get what he wants.
Does it hurt their case?
Yeah, okay. It does, I think.
So you think it's a negative thing?
I absolutely do. So you've thought the same thing about his Twitter account?
Well,
from the get-go.
Some of the initial stuff with the whole GameStop thing and given his history and given the problems with SAC and all that other stuff.
Too.
Yeah, I know. All the problems with the SEC and SAC, which is, you know, his previous company. I felt like, you know, you don't want to get involved with Dave Portnoy on a social media platform. And unfortunately, you know, you could do that, I guess, if you're not the owner of a professional sports team.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to keep it in your realm of the financial world, fine. That's your world. But now all of a sudden you are getting involved in things that, you know, Mets fans don't want to see you involved in.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't think if you're an agent, you're a player or whoever, you're Steven Matz. These guys have other clients. Now all of a sudden. You think about that. So this Rob Martin obviously has got other clients other than Steven Matz, and now he's getting called out by the Mets owner as the most unprofessional liar in the world.
So let me ask you a question.
Yeah?
Do you think I don't know the answer to this. I have no idea, and it would be pure speculation on our part. But I'm just going to ask you the question anyway about Marcus Stroman. Do you think Marcus Stroman wants to stay here and pitch?
I think Marcus Stroman will take the most money, just like everybody else. Just like everybody else,
and he should.
So if
do you think he wants, like if he goes and signs somewhere else?
Yeah.
Do you think we get? I'm so glad to be out of New York, or do you think I appreciate the Mets and every?
No, you'll get the appreciate the Mets. He's a local guy. You know, he went to Patrick Medford High School. He's a local guy. I know his dad's still around here. I think without a doubt, he would say I appreciate the Mets.
Now, wouldn't that be a reason to stay around here though?
It would be, but some people don't like that. I mean, you've explained to me, there's two people I learned a lot about playing in your hometown from. You and Neil Walker, when Neil Walker was in Pittsburgh.
Right.
And he was the Pittsburgh kid, and he was a local guy, and there was a lot of pressure on him. There's a lot of people who needed things in a small city like that. And then you told me about your experience here, and family members, and this and that, and the papers, and it's a lot. So, and he's a guy who's clearly sensitive about what people say about him. He blocks everybody. So maybe him going somewhere else might be a good thing, too. I don't know. But I would imagine that the Mets are going to try to bring him back.
Well, this is the other thing. Then this would be my next question. Because Steven Matz has turned the Mets down, and they obviously went after Steven Matz, and it seems to me like that was more of a cost-cutting thing because those numbers aren't like off-the-chart numbers for Steven Matz.
Sure.
Marcus Stroman is going to get double that.
Oh, yeah, but easy. More than double that, I think.
So does this ratchet up the intensity for the Mets to bring back Marcus Stroman?
Certainly. I think so. I mean, not just Marcus Stroman, but I mean to really add to that staff in free agency. Yeah.
And I'd really like to know the internal discussions about the way this team fell apart and why they think it fell apart. Because I don't think you could bring back a lot of these same players and expect different results.
Yeah, I mean, there needs to be a massive... That's why the Noah Syndergaard thing wasn't a big deal to me. You know, there's enough of these guys that are names and nicknames and don't contribute either if they're hurt or they're not hurt and they're not good enough. Michael Conforto's a guy I'm not bringing back. They got major deep issues on that team that need to be changed. And clearly we found out about a lot of that stuff after the season with the McNeil-Lindor thing, and then Baez comes in and... You got the guy's best friend after he's fighting with a guy who's been here. I mean, it was ugly. So, there needs to be a real change. The manager is going to be a big part of that. The general manager is going to be a big part of that. The next thing is it's got to be real change in the roster because you're not good enough. This is what we say about the Giants all the time. Well, the Giants think they're better than they are.
Yeah, but here's the thing. The Giants have drafted guys in the first round, and they've also signed free agents to big money contracts.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Bill Belichick went out and spent a ton of dough on free agency this offseason. And at the present moment, it is paying off because they went out and got the right guys. And, maybe the Giants got the wrong guys.
Well, we're going to find out.
Well,
because
looks like it.
Joe Judge said, for the rest of the year, Joe Judge said we have too many good players for the offense to be this bad.
But I'm just telling you that the player development side of it or the player selection side of it are like, wait a minute, we're drafting these guys in the first round. They got to get better performances. And if the coaches are not getting the best out of those players, then the coaches got to go. You know, it becomes a war between two factions within the same building.
Chicken or the egg scenario.
All right, well, and it is something to be said. And I told you yesterday, you have all these first round picks on offense, especially plus the money that you spent to bring Kenny Golladay in.
Sure. So, I mean,
what the hell's going on?
Don't know. 3-7 is what's going on. Let's go to Mary, who's in Sayville. What's going on, Mary?
Hi, good morning.
Good morning, Mary.
Happy Thanksgiving to you guys.
Oh, thank you, Mary. Same to you.
And I wanted to ask Gio.
Yeah.
Are you in the Sayville parade?
The Sayville Thanksgiving Day parade? I am not.
Yeah. Oh, you should be.
I think
Grand Marshal's got written on you. Got Grand Marshal written all over you. Why don't you wear that sash I got you?
Oh, it says, what does it say on there? Ambassador?
And the ambassador sash
the
for
ambassador
the Boomer and Geo softball team.
Yeah, I don't think I've been here long enough to be the Grand Marshal of the Sayville Thanksgiving Day parade. I will go to it, and I will take...
You have to. It's so much fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is me as the Italian-American Entertainer of the Year that CBS Sports Network is playing.
Nobody wears a sash like you wear.
Yeah, that's right. Look at that handshaking. Hey, how's it going? Hey, how are you? Hey, everybody. Hey, where's Boomer?
Ask you. Meant to be the grand marshal, but too bad they didn't ask you to just you sit in the car and do the wave.
Or do a geo float.
Yeah, that'd be great.
big blow up balloon of Geo.
Big,
yeah, they have the balloons here at the Thanksgiving Day.
I would be all in on that.
I think Tom Izzo could actually come up with a Geo balloon.
Well, he's doing that actually.
Yeah,
right
it's
now.
Actually it's ready. It's seeking approval right now, and then will be released.
Okay, good.
Most of them were my ideas, by the way. He came to me yesterday.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, and he asked me for all the ideas.
See, this is all right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mary.
Yeah, and, thanks. And appreciate it. We'll see you at the parade.
Yeah. We're all a team,
mm-hmm.
right? And even though Tom Izzo is kind of like, you know, comes and goes at times now.
Yeah. For an afternoon team.
Yeah, an afternoon team. There's a morning team. I mean, normally, you got to just keep the credit under the radar a little bit.
Well, I did for the Halloween thing.
Yeah.
Because that was me, too.
Yeah, but now,
I didn't say anything.
Now the Halloween thing's out there now, too. You're taking credit for
that. Well, I mean, I let that one be quiet, and he didn't really give me, he didn't do any credits at the end or anything. So I was like, okay, that's the way it's going to go. So
you would like a written by?
I would.
Yeah.
I would, actually.
Executive producer or something.
That's what they do in Hollywood.
A little something here or there. I mean, everyone's like, oh, man, genius is, oh, genius. I was like, well,
Okay.
He goes to me, what should I do for the Halloween thing? I said, what about an episode of Scooby-Doo? He ran with it. We sat there and we went back there and we wrote the thing. And then sends me a text yesterday. What balloons would you like to see for the WFAN Halloween, whatchamacallit? I mean, Thanksgiving Day parade.
Well, Craig is like ballooned up a little bit. Putting on that.
I had a couple of good ideas that I think he was afraid to do. And there was one Eddie one. Eddie had a suggestion, too, that he said was not a good one. So he was going to have Minko, Summers, and Chernoff in a hot air balloon that takes off and leaves, goes into the sky.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
That would have been perfect, then.
And then we were going to have CeeLo in the stands tweeting.
Yes.
That was one of my suggestions.
Yeah. CeeLo loves tweeting, doesn't he?
Didn't like that. Yeah, but anyway, I'm looking forward to this whole thing.
We should have had CeeLo pop the Carton and Roberts balloon.
That would have been great.
Is it too late to add that in? Oh, man. I don't want to give away the rest of them, but there's a couple of good ones in there. A couple of real good ones.
Well, at least we know who wrote it now. And who, if we don't like it, who we can complain about.
It wasn't my idea to do the Thanksgiving Day parade. Apparently, that was Izzo's wife. So he does not have any original ideas at all.
What is he doing then?
He gets them from everybody else. So
okay.
His wife said, what about a WFAN Thanksgiving Day parade? And he was like, oh, that's great. And then he went to me and Eddie and Al and just... I guess that's what a good employee does, though, is he knows that he can't do it on his own. You know, no. As Mark Messier came in here and said, no one wins alone.
That's right.
But he did stay here all night to work on it.
You got to give him credit. He is a worker bee.
That's true. Occasionally. He was complaining about stuff the other day when we disinvited him to the, whatchamacallit, the Christmas
party.
Well, he left
us. And according to Al, he's more afternoon guy now than he was morning guy. And this is Al. And Al understands that part of the scuttlebutt of the radio station.
Oh, yeah. No, he aligned himself with the afternoon show. There's no doubt about it. And then he made Gallo come to us to make us feel better about it. He pawned Anthony Gallo on us, and then he went to the afternoon. And he shows up here at like 9:55 just to show a little FaceTime.
Right.
And then leaves.
Hey, I care about you guys.
Right. No, I do. I swear.
I'm all in, guys.
That's why you're not coming with us to the Christmas party.
Because you're not all in.
Right. You're not with us any longer.
Right. And you're asking you for ideas.
And everybody else, apparently.
Okay.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here. And the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
We've got Jerry Recco back with us, who's got one more update and then moment of the day, and then he can rest and get back to normal for a big Friday, Black Friday show with Sal Licata. You think he'll be in studio for that one there, Jerry, or what?
I do.
All right.
So I do. I feel great. I feel much better. So, yes, I think so.
See, I feel like you're lying to me, too, just like my mother-in-law's lying to me.
I'm not at all. I mean, again, to me, the way I feel compared to yesterday, not even close.
I mean, this is the, I saw my mother-in-law yesterday. She's like, I'm not sick, I swear. Like, you're coughing. No, I'm not. I feel totally fine. Fine. Stop it. I'm fine. I'm like, you sound terrible. Just like you. You're like, I woke up feeling great today. Like, no,
I have not sounded like that once today.
That's what it sounded like at the beginning of the warm-up show.
No, it didn't.
Like, here's Al Aloysius Dukes.
That's not true. Nope.
Back in Dodson Street.
Spewing lies.
We're back. It's warm-up show. Boomer and Geo at 6.
By the way, if I don't feel, I'll be happy to do it from here.
Al, did you see the Knicks last night?
That's what I heard.
If your mother-in-law is sick and she's preparing the food,
I know, we've thought about this. No, not really, because I feel like if she's there, like,
well, yeah, but you are super protected now.
Oh yeah,
to
but she doesn't have COVID. We know that. Yeah. We've checked that out already. That's not an issue. But she has a little cold. That's all. I mean, from what I've learned throughout this whole thing is, you get sick from being around sick people that like airborne stuff, like the touching a surface. Remember we were freaking out about
that.
You
gotta wash your hands and stuff.
Well, of course you gotta wash your hands, but like, remember we were all like not picking up packages and mail, and we thought like that was like a big thing. That's not a big. That doesn't happen.
I'm not sharing anything that you know. I think I've said this, but if I haven't said this, I will say this: that I was talking to Frank Reich about COVID protocols and all that stuff at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, look, our groups of players like to go out to dinner during the week together. So the linemen go out, you know, the tight ends go out, the linebackers, maybe the defensive backfield will all go out. And we basically instructed them, everything has to be a la carte. Everything has to be yours. There's no, like, family style or any of that stuff because according to, I guess, some of the research that has been done by the NFL, that they have found that the sharing of food is where a lot of this can be transmitted when you're in a small dining table.
Interesting. Well,
so I would just say a la carte wherever you go. Try to do that. Kind of keep your hands washed, like we've always said.
Keep them washed. Wash your hands.
And just
remember all those things we had to read. We had to read the wash your hands PSAs in the beginning of the pandemic.
Yes, we had to tell people to wash their hands.
Wash your hands. Yeah. Don't be a pig. Wash your hands. All right, so what happened with the Knicks and the football and the whole thing there, Jerry?
Powered by Superbook, featuring better odds and favorable prices. We're also brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire, nobody. Before that, let's start with Noah Syndergaard. How about that? He was on MLB Network, I just found, either last night or this morning, I'm not sure, where he was discussing why he decided to leave New York and head to L.A.
I didn't necessarily go there for the weather. I went there to play with the best players in the game, like Mike Trout, Anthony Rendon, Shohei, Jared Walsh.
Yeah. He also loves his new manager.
A huge admirer of Joe Maddon for the longest time.
And then this one's really great. This one's awesome. This is basically telling you the Angels, because they've won a lot lately, that this is the place to be.
Steve Cishek, who was with the Angels last year, said it was the most exciting time playing in his life. And you know, he's been around for a long time, so just hearing him say that even got me more fired up.
Yeah, with the Marlins.
Yeah, the 2021 Angels.
Good Lord.
Most exciting team in baseball.
Fraud.
Yeah, seriously. Fraud! Fraud!
It took $21 million.
That's exactly.
Like fraudulent about that.
He had $19 million sitting here waiting and didn't even try to negotiate more. Fraud. Right. Yeah. Fraud.
They weren't going to pay him. This is why they're not signing.
You don't know that. He never even gave him a chance.
But it doesn't look like the Mets are going to sign any of these arbitration-eligible players.
Okay.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean he's not a fraud.
Right.
Or whatever the hell they call it. What kind of player was he? He was a...
You're talking about a non-tender guy?
Yeah, non-tender.
Tendered, non-tendered.
They're not going after tendered guys.
Yeah, they're not going after guys who've been tendered because they don't want to give up draft picks.
Right.
That's what he's trying to say.
Noah might be confused with the Angels and the Dodgers.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Well, you know, let me ask you a question. If Shohei Ohtani's healthy and Mike Trout is healthy, that's a pretty good team right there.
That's what we've said for the last 6 years.
Right.
Well, you got Mike Trout.
I know. And they're never good. Whatever. Screw them.
They're
average. Get them out of here.
They're average.
We're never going to think about this guy again.
No, you're right, especially playing at 10 p.m. every night.
Unless he does what Zach Wheeler did.
Yeah, but he did that for the Phillies, so we were paying attention to it. He's out there in L.A. for the Angels. We're never going to pay attention to it.
How about if he wins the Cy Young?
Then we'll pay attention to it, but he's not. He's going to pitch 4 days, and then his lat muscle's going to pop out of the skin.
They're going to have a six-man rotation out there.
Are they?
Yes.
All right. Well, good.
His lat muscle is going to pop out of his skin. That'd be interesting to see.
You know he's not going to stay healthy.
Anyhow, so that was interesting. Rougned Odor was released by the Yankees, so was Clint Frazier. And yes, Stephen Matz signed with the Cardinals, and Steve Cohen had the tweet that you guys talked about. Clearly, he's annoyed with that. Let's get to your Knicks, who had a good win last night over the Lakers. And boy, it looked like it was going to be very easy for a while.
Alec Burks. Hold on for Noel. Nice feed, a couple alley-oops. And the Knicks are hitting on every part of their offense tonight.
You can say that, Kevin. You're being kind. The Lakers' defense absolutely stinks right now.
Yeah, I heard that live last night. I was surprised he said that.
Well, he was right, though. I mean, they're giving so much shots. You know, but the other thing, too, is you can follow a Knick game just by the facial expressions of one Tom Thibodeau. Because when they close in on him and somebody takes a stupid shot, it's like...
It looks constipated.
Like, paying attention to what's going on in the game. And the end of, like, the last... six minutes of the second quarter.
Yeah.
Like, they were taking all these bad shots. Like, they didn't even, like, do you realize you're up 25, guys? Can you just try to work the ball in the paint and just go get an easy basket? Do we have to, like, hoist up threes with 17 seconds to go on a shot clock?
All right, don't get too upset, will you? Last night they won the game.
But, again, you know, it goes back to the understanding of where you are and what you're doing. They won the game, that's right, and they should have won because of the problems that the Lakers have.
That was Fournier's best game last night.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Well, here was Tibbs on why they were successful and why they did score, especially early, and got a lot of points in those first couple quarters.
We're doing the right things when we're pushing the ball and we're attacking the rim. Oftentimes those are the best shots that you can get. You get the drive, and then it's pass, and you're walking into a three, so that gives you good rhythm.
It's called moving the ball. That's exactly right. And here's Julius Randle on being able to fend off L.A. late.
We withstood their run. You know, they have great players, great team, you know, so they're going to make runs. You know, 20-point leads in this league aren't safe.
Carmelo Anthony did struggle. He was 3 of 14. He had just 12 points. Russell Westbrook, the triple-double in the loss. 31-12-10. The Knicks take on the red-hot Phoenix Suns on Friday. Tonight you've got the Nets in Boston against the Celtics. We'll have that for you on the Fan. Tip-off right after 7:30 or so. A couple more from Joe Judge as we wrap this up. Judge, on why they made the move to fire Jason Garrett on Tuesday.
I don't think there's ever an ideal time to make a change like this in a season, but you have to go ahead and you have to be prepared to go ahead and roll with it. Talk in terms of, you know, we make adjustments all the time with players. When we lose significant players to injury or loss from the game plan or whatever it may be, that we have to make adjustments to keep on moving. It
certainly seemed to be the case that he was furious after Monday night's loss to the Bucks, a game that was there for, I don't say there for the taking, but they were in that game, 17-10 in the third
quarter.
And
he never addressed specifically what he didn't like about the offense other than the fact that they're not scoring enough points with the talent that they have. Like
I read through the transcript from yesterday. I didn't get to see him, and that's exactly right. It seems a lot about point production has been a big problem.
I mean, I understand.
If you look at their rankings and all the major categories
it's
on
terrible.
Offense.
It's horrendous.
They're like in the bottom three of all these teams. It was inevitable. We felt it when we came in here Tuesday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we heard what he had to say, and this was a game where, you know, obviously they had all their guys healthy with the exception of Sterling Shepard.
Yeah, absolutely. That was a no-excuse spot. We said it going into the game, and then they scored 10 points, And the only touchdown they scored, they threw to a left tackle after getting a short field after an interception.
Like, if they lost 31-27 and Daniel Jones threw for 350 yards and three touchdowns, that's not going to be the case this week.
Sure. How many 300-yard games do you think he's got in his career? Daniel, or at least under Garrett?
Four or five?
That's about it, right? In a pass-first type of league now. Here's one more from Judge. He says, Monday night is not the main reason for this.
This is it's not a snap decision or anything in terms of, you know, reflection of last night. But we got to make some moves to give our offense an opportunity to change some things up, be more productive, and ultimately score more points.
And so step up Freddie Kitchens. You're going to have the opportunity now as the Giants play the Eagles on Sunday. Mike, do me a favor. Let's skip the other judge and let's skip the Jerry Jones. I want to get to Matt Nagy because this is something that, Greg, you brought up last hour about Nagy being either chanted at, yelled at, or at least discussed the idea of him losing his job at his son's high school football game. Here was Nagy yesterday with the media, Bears Lions tomorrow on Thanksgiving.
When I'm in the role I'm in, right, you have to be able to understand where people are coming from and how they react or don't react. And that's not, again, it's, I was there to watch my son play a football game. I was there to be a dad. You know, it was a pretty cool time.
So I'm not, if that answers your question, I don't know if they were yelling at him there, but it certainly seems like it came up for sure.
No, they were chanting fire Nagy at that game.
Kids' high school game?
Yes, yes. Man. That's been reported. It's out there. It's just, you know, that's taken it a step too far. Yep.
He was asked if he has spoken to management about his job status.
This week, we have not talked this week, and that was scheduled. You know, that's been, we have a good schedule over the years where we have discussions. Like you guys always hear us talk about, you know, we have constant communication with the bye week and then with the short turnaround with game prep.
Yeah.
We have not.
Well, let's hope you stink tomorrow. Lions money line, over 41.5. Andy Dalton will give him the 215.5 passing wise.
Yeah, +560 on that.
+5, I like that.
And very we are good. And Bobby's in for 50. So is it what 450 we're in
correct.
For?
Yes, because Gallo's in for 100 as well.
All right.
So
all
there
right.
you go. And then I give you one from Aaron Rodgers. This is with Pat McAfee. This is his buddy. So we heard about the toe injury after Sunday, and yet he really wouldn't say a whole hell of a lot yesterday.
I've already talked enough about on this show about my medical status, in other words. So I've given you enough information at this point. I have a injury that's not going away, and I'm going to be dealing with it for at least the next few weeks.
So that's it.
Turf toe scenario, right?
Well, he said it wasn't turf toe, more bone.
More bone?
That's what he said.
Okay.
So they're on a bye this week.
So okay. That'd be good for him,
that's
right?
Good for him, yeah.
He made it seem like it was his pinky toe in one of the other answers he gave. He talked about the fifth toe.
The fifth metatarsal?
Well, the toe, not the metatarsal, though.
What's a metatarsal?
He said fifth. He referenced the fifth toe at some point in that interview.
The fifth toe.
So the toe is always the fifth, I guess, and
you
then the big toe's
big
the first?
Big toe to little toe or a little
yeah,
toe
I
to
count
big toe?
How big do you toe is toe number one.
What?
I count big toe as toe number one.
Yeah.
Pinky as toe number five.
Yeah, so he broke his pinky toe. Big deal. Suck it up.
And that's what it sounds like.
It hurts.
Does it?
Yeah.
Not much of a bone in that pinky toe.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Small
Ronnie bone. Lott would cut off his pinky toe and get right
he
back
would.
In there.
Yes, yes, he would.
He'd eat it.
You're probably
and
right.
Chew it off and eat it.
Chew it. Yes.
Yeah.
Eat it.
Oh, man. All right, Ted, it's a little long, so let's get to Moment of the Day. Brought to you by Casamigos Tequila. Casamigos Tequila, brought to you by those who drink it.
My!
And a caller, last hour I think it was, asked the guys about the station and staffers who would be most likely to use an escort service, and you had a couple of ideas, G.
About JJ, 2 hours left.
2 hours left, 2 hours gone.
45 minutes to play with. Why don't we do a little missionary now?
Come on.
Are you healthy? Do you have... I'm going to name a couple. Chlamydia. Are you healthy? HPV.
Oh, God.
Well, JJ's now engaged as well, is he not?
JJ's engaged, yeah.
I was just trying to think of people you do impressions of.
And Eddie.
This has been a long winter stuffing these yarn advent calendars.
So now I'm ready to stuff something else. If you know what I mean.
Wow.
Do you like the ponytail up or out? Doesn't matter to you? Okay.
Stuffing the advent calendars. That's still... There you go, guys. Moment of the day. Happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy the long weekend.
All right. Very good. Thank you. You too, Jerry. We'll hear you on Friday with Sal. Friday morning. A little Black Friday special. Jerry and Sal on Fan.
It's the morning show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
Boomer and I are going to be hanging out tonight. Big Thanksgiving Eve party at UBS Arena. Can't wait for that. Now, should I get there super early and then scoop up all the food and the alcohol before everybody gets in there? What do you think?
You know, you can, I don't know when the doors open. I'm assuming the game is at 7:30?
7:30. So that means puck drops like 7:38, right?
Oh, God, I can't believe these 7:30 games. Oh,
yeah, 7:38.
So that's what I loved about the Ranger games. They start at 7, and yeah. Even on 6 o'clock on Sunday nights, that's awesome.
Yeah, I'm not leaving my house until 6, so we'll see how bad the traffic
why
is.
They must do it. I wonder why they do 7:30. I mean, they must have asked their fan base what's the best time for you, and you know, and probably got people saying 7:30. I don't know why.
You want me to arrange Ledecky to come by and say hello? I can do that. Me and him are close now. We're tight.
For what?
Say hello to you. Say hey, welcome to my house. Enjoy yourself.
Well, he's been promoting this for years and years and years, and I'm happy for him. I legitimately am, and I'm happy for the Islander fans in my life.
Yeah.
And certainly for my son-in-law to be able to see this thing all the way through.
Sure.
As he has played both at the Nassau Coliseum and in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
And now they get to have this place and call it home, and it's built specifically for them in concerts. So I'm happy for all of that. And I'm certainly happy for our area. Not that we needed another building, but I know that the Islanders wanted a building, needed a building to stay here and to be able to compete too. They spent a lot of money over the last few years, had a lot of success over the last few years. And I think that also accelerated the ability to build this building.
Let me ask you a question before I get your opinion, a little Thanksgiving opinion before we get back to the calls here. So I got a text message from somebody I hadn't talked to in 10 years. 10 years. And he said, I want to invite you to my wedding. Now, I have not responded back to this text message yet. It's been sitting there for 2 days. Is this gift fishing or is this genuine?
Well, I mean, you are somewhat of a celebrity now.
Hmm.
Maybe they want a celebrity at their wedding.
Haven't talked to him in 10 years.
So they want a celebrity at their wedding, it sounds like to me.
So that you think it's a gift fish?
I think what you do is you end up sending back a text, new phone, who dis?
No, but then see that what happens is now I'm establishing contact.
Well, then don't answer. Then you're asking
is
me.
Is it a jerk move to not answer? This is the debate.
No contact at all for 10 years.
Not at like least. At least 10 years.
No congratulations on your new jobs or the different number of jobs that you've had over the years. No,
babies, marriage, nothing.
No. I wouldn't answer it then. Forget it.
Because I got in a big argument with the head flunky, my cousin, about this. He's like, you are a jerk if you don't answer that. You have to answer it.
That's not an official invitation. If you get an invitation, then yes, you answer it one way or another. But yeah, this text, no way.
No way. That's what I said. I said, you can't just let it sit out there. And I said, sure I can. I said, this person's not in my life at this point.
Do you know where this person is living?
Yeah, I think okay. So. At least I remember where he used to live. I'm assuming it's the same place.
Okay. Is it relatively near where you live?
No, it's nowhere close.
Oh, well, then forget it.
It's in like Philadelphia.
Oh, no.
Who's an old college roommate of mine?
Do you want to go to Philly?
Of course I don't. But like, I'm not going to go to the wedding, like, obviously. The question now is, do I even respond?
No.
See, all right, good. God, see, I knew it. I knew I was right about this. And I'm getting called a jerk for ignoring it.
Look who's calling you a jerk.
Yeah, head flunky.
Right, okay.
Head flunky doesn't know what he's talking about.
No.
Guy's totally lost. You've met him. You've seen him.
I like him.
He's all right.
Who's one of your best buddies?
He is, but he's just okay.
Is that the flunky you're bringing tonight?
No.
Who you bringing tonight?
I wouldn't put the head flunky in that spot. He was actually very offended by
you
that.
You bringing Mumminshots? Who are you bringing?
No, I'm not bringing Frenchie. Okay. I'm bringing Brian, the guy, the batting practice hero. Uh-huh. Very quiet, very respectful.
Okay, good.
Ranger fan.
Oh, nice.
He's perfect in that spot.
All right, good.
Doesn't drink too much. Respectful. Thank you.
Yes.
Tip.
Tip. The whole thing.
Yeah, good. Dresses himself nicely.
Good.
He's the perfect guy to bring to a situation like this.
Yeah, I found out about some of the other guys that are coming.
Oh, yeah?
There's going to be a lot of pressure to tip heavy.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I don't want you to feel that way.
I've already set aside what I'm going to be handing to the attendant.
All right, but believe me, the attendant's going to do very well tonight. So who's ever handling our suite is going to do very well.
So Wally's bringing some heavy hitters or something?
Oh, yeah.
Other NBA guys?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm bringing, my WASP hockey guys.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're bringing some flunkies.
Yeah, but no, they're not flunkies, but they all get the tip thing.
Oh, yeah, of course. Dimitri, Aaron, those guys.
Yeah.
Randy.
Right.
They understand.
Right.
But Wally's bringing some wealthy people.
Yeah, well, my guys do well.
I feel like Wally hangs out with a lot of wealthy people.
Why? Because he plays golf?
Yeah, I don't know. I just get that sense from him.
He's an NBA player, and they're all overpaid?
Yeah. He's just very, very good looking, can show up anywhere and sort of fit right in, that type of thing.
Well, you're good looking, and you fit right in.
Not like him, though.
Right.
Although he does wobble around on the golf course with that knee brace.
That damn knee brace, yeah.
That thing's huge.
That thing. Well, he's huge.
No, I know. But I just, he definitely hangs out with wealthy people. There's no doubt about it. But I'm excited to see him. We'll do a little Twitter video and show everybody how he's not boring.
Okay.
Let's go to Richie in East Islip. He's back. What's going on, Richie?
Hey, Gio. Thanks for coming to the game last week. Did a great job.
Yeah, I know. Congratulations to East Islip. I did say it the next morning, if you didn't hear me. They'll be playing.
I heard you the next morning.
Yeah, you guys did well. I felt good for you. I felt good for the champies. I did. I felt
your
I was
Belfour
bummed.
Boys don't want you anywhere near their game. Let me just tell you that.
That is not true, by the way, because I've been invited.
Geo, now you're on the. You made it in life. You abandoned everyone. Boomer.
Yeah.
Hate Champ Junior.
Yeah.
The stable coach to tell us because we already know Champ Senior hates Zip, so don't even go to that dinner. That's ridiculous. Bring him there when he's ready to eat in about a month, because we know the big scandal that happened afterwards when he didn't play Messina for the whole game, who was the best player on the team for his own son. I mean, it's a whole controversy, and I don't even know if Geo knows about it.
No, I had not heard that, Richie. I don't really want to get into the politics of the Sayville football and everything else. But
no.
I did get an invite. And by the way, I should have mentioned this a couple days ago because this was in Newsday and on Channel 2 News. And this guy is a friend of mine, and I played high school football with him. And he's one of the coaches at Belport. And he did invite me to the game on Saturday, the Long Island Championship game. His name's Kyle Moot. He had brain surgery 6 days before the Suffolk County Championship game because he had a condition with a vein that was about to burst and cause an aneurysm. Wow. And he was having debilitating headaches, and he didn't know what was happening. And he went into Stony Brook Hospital, and they diagnosed him with this condition where he was basically on the verge of having a catastrophic brain aneurysm, went in, scheduled the surgery so he could be at the football game.
See, that's a football coach.
He goes.
That's a football coach for you.
So he goes in and says, listen, I got to be at this game.
Of course he does.
I spent a lot of time with these kids. So he had it as soon after the other playoff game, the Hills East playoff game, so he could be there for the Suffolk County Championship game. And he had brain surgery.
Was he on the sideline?
And he 6 days later, he was on the sideline coaching.
Screaming and yelling, I hope not.
Well, doing what he does, But no, he said instantaneously his headaches were gone and what they did, they actually went up through his wrists to get into his brain where the vein was. Just a miracle. Absolute miracle.
That is insane.
Yeah, and he was out there coaching.
Yeah, but if that doesn't show you exactly what the high school coach is all about.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
He's preaching to his players, whether they're on winning teams or losing teams, he's preaching to his players commitment, dedication, responsibility, all that other stuff. That's why I would say their high school coaches are truly makers of men.
No, and his line was, I want to be there for them. Not, I need to be there for me. I need to be there for them.
Yeah,
and he was.
Because they put their whole life into it.
Yeah, I know.
Well, you saw our coaches did that when we were high school kids.
No, of course. And that dinner will happen, by the way, with Champy.
Oh, in a couple weeks, yeah, well.
Yeah, it's going to let them, you know, get through their championships. It's amazing. Both of them are both on the sidelines, too. They've been,
of course they are.
They've been retired for years, but they're both there with the teams right now.
See, but I think that's a good play by our teams, our former teams, because now you put the true intimidator on the sideline.
Oh, my God. Oh, without a doubt.
And those guys intimidate everybody.
It's like if the Packers were to exhume Vince Lombardi, put him on the sideline. You know?
Yeah, or if the Cowboys put Tom Landry on the
sideline. Yeah, absolutely. By the way, Packers don't have a bye this week. It's next week.
Oh, it's next week. Okay. Yeah, so he's got to play with the bad toe this week.
That's right. Quickly, very important here, Scott in Connecticut. What's going on, Scott?
Yes, so they stopped hiking for 2 months. That's what I read this morning. They would take 2 months of not increasing production to make up for the SBR release. So you just increase production for 2 months.
I don't think they would do that. Maybe they'll go 1 month.
Scott's on a conference call right now. Has no idea he's on the radio.
Hey, is that Gio?
Hey, what's going on, Scott? What's up, man? You on a Zoom call or something?
I've been on hold for 2 hours.
Yeah, I know. I can't believe you stayed on hold. What the hell are you doing?
Well, I mean, if you listen to the show anyway, what's the difference if I'm on the phone?
Well, that's, you know what? That's pretty smart. What are you going to be increasing production, I heard?
OPEC. I mean, I was on hold when you guys were talking to Adami, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, that was a long time
ago. So what
ago.
Did you want to say? What was so important?
Hey, so I wanted to make sure I save you from a big situation with the garbage.
Okay.
So you're saying your pickup is on Thursday?
Yeah.
Well, doesn't it get pushed till Friday?
No.
Thursday, Thanksgiving?
No, I don't believe so.
I
went through this with like a Columbus Day scenario or whatever. They just wait till the next garbage pickup day. It loads up. I don't think they do it on Friday.
But
yeah.
Don't you guys, what are you guys, part of Islip? Don't you guys have Winter Brothers?
No. We were part of Islip Town. I don't think Winter Brothers. There's trucks and stuff. I don't think that, but I don't think the workers work on the day after. I'm pretty sure. But I did that, and I ended up. It was one of those Mondays that we had a whatever holiday. I think it was probably Columbus Day, and they didn't show up for the garbage that day. So I left it out, thinking they'd come back the next day. Nope, didn't do it. So I don't know. It's gonna pile up. Who cares? Not a big deal.
I think it'd be pretty easy to find out whether or not they are coming.
I will. Yeah. But he waited on 2.5 hours.
Well,
so,
he's in Connecticut. Maybe they do that in Connecticut.
Yeah, it's all right. Not a big deal. I had so much garbage that was like, you know me, and the cardboard and the garbage and kids now.
Yeah.
That my neighbor looked over. He goes, what'd you get evicted? I said, nope. Just the garbage.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.